Okay, hi.
What's up, Connor?
Not much help. I feel so close to you.
I know, we're really close today.
Feel weird? No, like a touch.
The boys at home will know. So yeah, sorry to touch you like that.
No, you can. I just, when I don't do it back, I don't feel hurt.
No, I never would.
No.
The boys at home know that we've been working on YouTube and we finally got this to work, and now we're close enough so that everybody fits in the frame. So,
but I can't turn this off because I have a free trial.
This has been on for for 72
it's been on
hours.
For actually like 6 days. Because the free trial was only 3 days. So I'm worried it's gonna not worry, because like if there are worse things you could have burned.
This podcast is bleeding money by the day.
I know, and like TVs are so cheap that it's like I almost bought that TV that looked like a picture frame. Uh-huh. And it's like you didn't have to. You just had to put that up.
Yeah. All right. You want to jump into some boys clubs?
Okay, my boys club is Traitors.
Wait, mine too.
Are you caught up?
Yes.
Are you caught up? I always go those.
You always try to get the guests to talk before they're supposed to.
Are we gonna spoil it for you?
I never started it.
Okay. We'll try not to spoil too much, but
I can't stop. I am obsessed with it. The game doesn't make any sense.
Okay. Well, the reason I was going to bring this up as a boys club was because it feels like anybody who's good at that like mafia style game, that feels like a boys club to me. People that can like lie.
What makes someone good at that though?
I don't know, because I don't have the skill.
No, I mean like literally, like who on that is good? Like if you're
on the game right
random
now,
for anyone to be good.
Okay, well, anybody at home who doesn't know Traitors, check it out. It's on Peacock. Alan Cumming is probably one of the best game show hosts we've had in a while for me. He has a new outfit every time he's on screen. He has really fun things to say. His accent's great. Basically, it's like mafia where you're trying to like suss out which of the three people or X number of people are the traitors and everybody else is a faithful. And you're like they're also doing challenges and there's money involved. I never really understand the money part of it.
What's weird about the money to me is that on Survivor, like everyone does kind of like need the money more or less. Sure. On this one, it's like you're a Real Housewife. You're just like a random girl from the back. Like they're all not random, but like it's like some of you need
the money necessarily.
Like last season, like Parvati wanted the money to buy a house for her family.
Okay, well,
and other people were just like millionaires.
Jeremy from Survivor, who got kicked out recently.
I know, firefighter.
He was like, I was just trying to do this for my family. I was like, dude, you got to have a better plan for financially supporting your family.
He's a firefighter.
Than being on game shows.
I know. Well, he won Survivor.
Well, yeah, but that can't be like, and that's what I'm doing forever. Like, that is not stable.
But at the same time, like at this point, you kind of can. Like if you get on, I told you. I applied to Survivor to be on Traitors because it's like you're on that and then you can do that.
Yeah.
It's the ladder.
Pipeline.
The pipeline.
Yeah.
But it is something, there's something beautiful about, because like my brothers watch this, but they won't watch like The Bachelorette and they won't watch like Selling Sunset. So this is their only like introduction to people.
They want a game.
I know, like they're gay, but they're not gay in that way. Like I'm watching Selling Sunset and I'm watching the, like I need to watch this.
Confirmed
those.
You are the gayest.
Totally, I am the gayest. And like, but like it's like, oh, that's nice that my brother will be now know who Chriselle is.
Totally. Well, so one of the things I like about Traitors is the fact that they have all these like reality TV stars on it, because it just makes it sort of interesting, because then they also have these little cliques among them. They have the Survivor people and like Big Brother people, the
Tom Sandoval.
Girls. Oh my God, Tom Sandoval is absolutely on coke every episode.
Did you see when Chriselle?
Or he's like, oh, he's like detoxing because he is sweating.
Yeah. No, that's true. He lifted his arms and then there was a photo and it's like,
I mean,
this
like,
way you don't lift your arms
he
in public.
Had so much gray, just the biggest sweat stains. And he is like, every time they show him on screen, he's like,
yeah, he looks really scared and kind of
bug-eyed and just like nervous.
I know, but I like Chriselle does this thing she does on Selling Sunset too, where she'll be like talking totally normally, and then she'll just sort of like drag you to hell, but in the same tone, and you're like, oh, I just dragged to hell. Like she's like, you don't even realize. And she did that with him, where she suddenly was like, I'm voting for Tom because I think to be a traitor, you'd have to be like a total liar, cheat, and steal, and like those qualities would make a good traitor. And it's like, okay, like shit.
I know. Well, the other funny thing about traitors and is that like, at the beginning, they don't have a lot to go off. They don't really know anything about
anything. Still, four episodes in, I still don't think we have anything to go off.
No, they have nothing to go off. They finally got somebody, but they
because they turned on each other.
Yes, they only got someone because the traitors turned on each other. And
but there's no, here's what doesn't make sense about this game. There's no, and I could be wrong. I'm open to being wrong. I've been wrong before. There's no reason for traitors not to turn on each other or to out each other. Like, there's just no, from what I understand, there's no incentive to not do
like,
that.
Like, other than there would be some heat on them, because then the other people could be like, oh, they know who a traitor, because that's kind of was teased that they sort of
with
know.
Rob, yeah. Because at the same time, it's like, oh, if Rob came after this person, then all these, then first thought would be, well, Rob's not a traitor.
Yeah.
Because he came after Bob, the drag queen.
Yeah. Also, what was making me laugh so hard, and sorry, spoiler alert, if you haven't watched this fourth episode,
this
Traitors,
is all spoiler.
Spoiler. But they were voting out Bob the drag queen, and what was making me laugh was everybody kept calling him like different. They were like, they would turn because they have like
the BQE
when they vote, they like turn their little chalkboards around with the name on it, and they all like were like Bob the Queen, Bob the Q, BTQ. I was like, guys, you have so much time to write, just write Bob. Like, it was so funny, Bob the Q.
But there's no, like, there's no. If you were on there, it'd be like, why do we have to get the traitors out? Like, who even cares? Because when the traitors get voted out, then they're just going to have new traitors. And it's like, okay. Like, yeah. they re-sprout up.
No, it's totally a flawed game, for sure.
It should be that if you get all the traitors out, you all get a bunch of money.
But what makes me laugh about the beginning of the game is also because these people are not, they're not necessarily, like, some of them seem pretty smart. Some of them don't seem that sharp. But that's what we get when we put a lot of celebs on these shows. But,
celebs, that's generous.
Yeah, it is. Well, reality celebs.
Dylan Efron.
I know.
Hot, really hot. super hot.
Which was funny because Bob the drag queen said, he was like, I grew up with an actor, and Bob the drag queen goes, not a good one. And then one of the housewives was like, hey, Dolores, he is a good actor.
Dolores said, that's not nice. And then it's like, Dolores, you are MAGA. Like, Dolores, you're MAGA. Like,
Zac Efron doesn't need you right now. But anyway, because they don't have anything to go off of, these people are just like, yeah, like so-and-so like seemed like they were like kind of being quiet last round, and that makes me think they're a traitor. And
but like,
it's like, why are you even saying a theory? You have nothing to go off of.
It's kind of, I think the issue is that like being a traitor doesn't mean anything. It just means that you stay later at the castle at the end of the night and you get to decide who dies. But like, it's the decisions about who dies are pretty random. There's just like, no, it's not like they have to do weird challenges. It's not like the mole. Do you remember the mole?
I did like the mole.
So with the mole, it's like, well, who's losing us money? Who's like kind of shit in the bed over here?
Yeah.
There was like a task associated with being the mole. Like the mole had a mission.
Yeah.
But with the traitors, there's no mission.
Yeah.
They're just in the castle.
For anybody who isn't familiar with those shows, basically the difference being that like in the mole, they have challenges where they're winning money, but the mole is incentivized to like to fuck up the challenges so they don't make as much money. Whereas in traitors, they're all incentivized to make more money.
Yeah,
so they're kind of all
sense.
On the same team, but they're not. Anyway,
I think it's beautiful that you now know who Brittany Haynes is. Do you know Brittany?
Oh, she hasn't said a goddamn thing.
I love Brittany, though.
But she goes, guys, we need to find a traitor and we need to save a faithful. And I was like, bitch, you used your turn to say that? Like, okay, that's the conceit of the game.
What's hard for me is Brittany, she was a real Big Brother legend when I was kind of a young gay child.
Wow, I'm waiting to see it in this
and
game.
And for you to sucks. Just drag her to hell, it's like, well, yeah, she sucks. The game doesn't make sense. if this game made
fair,
sense, she'd
fair.
Be killing it.
Fair. Okay, before we wrap this up, I guess the reason I brought it up as a boys club was because I don't think I'm very good. Anytime we've played Secret Hitler or any games like that, like mafia games, I'm so bad at those games.
Yeah, but also same thing where it's like, what is this? Like, who cares? Like, what if it's like, do we need to, like, and it's like, you want to care because it's respectful to care, but it's like, okay,
yeah,
so kill me, fucking yeah. kill me, and then I can go eat a snack. Like, that's what I don't get. So I don't know. I think the game has some flaws. It needs to be fixed.
No,
like
definitely.
Tony, who got voted off. I never understood the Tony lore of Survivor. I was never a Tony guy.
He was so annoying. I'm glad they got rid of him. I'm like, why don't they just get rid of Tom Sandoval, though, just to get him the fuck out of there? He's so weird.
But he's really weird. But Tony's thing was like, there should be a punishment for guessing wrong. But there's not a punishment.
Yeah.
Because if you guess right, guess what? Someone's still going to die tonight.
Yeah.
And if you guess wrong, someone's still going to die tonight. Like, there's no, it doesn't matter.
It's hard to predict who's going to win. My favorite of is definitely Gabby Windy.
Love of course.
Her. Shout out to former guest of the pod, Robbie Hoffman.
We love Gabby.
We love Gabby.
Chriselle. We love Brittany. And that might be it.
You love Brittany.
I guess we like
I'm
Nikki.
Waiting for Brittany to say something.
I guess we like.
Oh, I do like Nikki. Nikki's the WWE fighter. She's cool. I didn't like when they were going for her for no reason.
Didn't like. I like Sierra.
I don't like any of the dudes. There's also a lot of misogyny
Sierra
in this
girl.
Season.
Sierra girl.
No, I know.
Oh, totally.
I know.
Actually, my boys club literally was almost the name Sierra, but then I was like, that's not interesting. I don't
okay.
But like, have you ever met a Sierra that wasn't kind of like running the room, you know?
I feel like Sierra's a hot name.
Sierra's a hot name.
Yeah.
Like, I had a Sierra in class today, and I was like, I don't know who the hell that is, but like, freaking, she's the coolest person I've ever seen.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the end of it.
All right. Should we bring our guest in?
Yes.
Boys, our guest this week is an outstanding stand-up comedian. He's one of our favorites here in the city. You can catch him locally here in New York or around across the country as he's touring. He wrote for something like called Saturday Night Live. Have you ever heard of it? Boys, please welcome Alex English.
What's up?
How you doing?
Hi.
You said before that you've not watched The Traitors.
No, but I've heard of it, but Bob the Drag Queen was on this show?
Yes.
He was.
Yes.
He was voted out.
He just got voted off.
He was voted off. What? Okay. I know Drag Race, but that's the only other show they've done.
Yeah, so they pulled from Drag Race. They had Peppermint on last year.
But so Traitors is like kind of like how the challenge brought in, stop bringing in people from both just the real world.
Or yeah.
The
world. Mm-hmm.
So it was just like, oh, if you were on reality TV.
Yeah.
Ever.
Could be a challenge.
Or if you're like Zac Efron's brother. Like, it's pretty, or a royal. There's a royal on.
There's every year they bring out some distant royal family member.
So it's a reality show. It's a reality-based reality show.
Yes, 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 yes.
And it's a competition game show.
Okay. Yeah.
And it's crazy because it's like on Peacock, but they have all, like, it's CBS, it's Big Brother, it's Real Housewives. And it's like, how are you allowed to have all this and talk about all these things?
Well, now you can see how each person they picked if you didn't watch before, if you didn't know who they were, you can go back and watch what they did on the show to be considered for
this kind
of thing.
Yeah.
But is it just exclusive to like evil people? Because I don't recall Bob the Drag Queen being like a traitor.
That was House of Villains. There was a show that was that. It was called House of Villains, and it was just like.
But isn't traitors supposed to be based on that?
Kind of. Because like there's a couple of them that are the traitors who are like the secret, you know, people in the game, the mafia people that are trying to kill everybody. And so I think Alan Cumming or the producers like pick who it is. So I think they try to pick like personalities they think can handle it, which is why they selected Bob.
Oh, okay.
Because he was doing a great job until.
But he didn't make it.
Well, so one of the other traitors turned on him and like basically sacrificed him at the when they all like vote each other out.
And like the first person voted off of the show then.
No,
did you watch
third,
Survivor?
Maybe? Yeah.
For a while. But
do you remember Boston Rob from 2002? And then he was on like four times since then.
Damn. That name rings a bell, but I mean that was so long ago.
It's him.
I did start watching.
And when he was on, he was this like gorgeous 22-year-old. But now it's like years later.
He's older now. He's still like a handsome looking guy. He's a bit older now.
I guess that isn't required in
this
game. No. This game is not a requirement. But there's so many TikTok edits of like, if you think Boston Rob is hot now, you should have seen. And it's like all these like edits, and I'm like, people have too much time on their hands.
It is crazy because like Boston Rob does fully look so different, whereas like Parvati, also it's been 20 years, she looks the same.
Yeah,
she looks the exact same
still
as
looks
she did.
Pretty gorgeous. Yeah.
Mm. Oh, Bob Harper's on it from The Biggest Loser. Do you remember The Biggest Loser?
I do remember the big. Oh yeah, and I do remember him. Yeah.
He's back.
Yeah,
he's back.
Yeah, he's back. He was gay and he's back.
He's gay.
I don't know. I think on the show he was closeted.
You know, you gotta ask that.
Yeah.
He's gay and he's having a tough time on Traitors.
I know.
He was having a tough time.
I feel like that should be. Well, I guess not. Bob didn't make it.
Yeah. Well, that was somebody said something a little shady where they were like, I feel like Bob's good at deceiving, and I was like, what do you mean by that? What do you mean good at keeping secrets?
I mean, that's the whole nature of drag.
Deception.
Bob the drag queen said to I think Dylan Efron, Zac Efron's brother, he was like, I just think you've never met someone like me, and I was like, that's brilliant.
Yeah,
that's
probably true.
And probably true.
I first met Bob the drag queen before. He was on Drag Race. Mm. I just moved here. I was looking for work in like restaurants, and I answered an ad for like a nighttime bartending, like bar server stuff. But I got there. It was some bar. I don't know if it still exists, but it was like right off of Broadway in Times Square. And I didn't know who I was going in here to meet at like 2 p.m. to interview about this potential restaurant bar job. But all I know is it was Bob. Not that I know, it was Bob in full drag. At like 2 in the afternoon, walking me around like the levels of a bar, being like, you know, and here we if you work with us, you know, your responsibility. I just remember him saying the responsibility is to fulfill the fantasy. I'm like, what?
Wait, was it a gay bar?
I don't know. I know it was near Hell's Kitchen, right there in like the Broadway Theater District area. But like, I had just moved here, so I didn't know my left, my right, you know, south, north, and south. So I just was like, I don't know if this is where I need to. I'm gonna make my money.
Yeah.
So I didn't go. But then fast forward like two bars later, I'm like go dancing at some other place. But like,
Was it in Manhattan or Brooklyn?
It was in, every bar that I worked in was in Manhattan.
That's so true. That like when you first move here, there are people that kind of just like explain things to you.
Well, there was also a Craigslist ad. So it was like, I mean, this is 2012. So I was just looking for work in New York.
Yeah.
So then when I get there, the last thing I thought was gonna happen.
Yeah.
Was, a drag queen was gonna greet me in full drag.
Who has gone on to be like one of the more famous drag queens?
Yeah, and I have yet to. Did I bring it up to him? I feel like I met him once and told him like, you don't know this, but you interviewed me for a job a long time ago before you were famous. It was crazy.
That's so funny. Yeah, you know, he's good at it, and or it's too bad that he's gone off the show now because he was so good. And I like that they've brought drag queens into it too, because that's like a fun franchise to pull from, because there's so many good personalities.
They could do more. They have five housewives.
They are giving the housewives a lot of work.
Not even the good ones. Get us Heather Gay. Get us Meredith Marks.
Well, it seems like the folks that go on here No shade.
Get a Jen shot out of jail.
Get Jen shot out of jail. Literally. Sure. Yeah.
Okay. I when I first moved here, well, no, I lived here for a summer when I was 20 years old, and I worked for this guy who was a go-go dancer, but he was also the assistant to I was the assistant to the assistant for Alan Cumming. That was like when I was 20 years old, and he was like a shepherd.
We need an even younger gay guy in here.
Yeah, and then
but he was also a go-go dancer.
He was also a go-go dancer, okay. Which I figured out because of the internet. And he was, he said things to me that I was like, that I still think about today. He's like, to live in Brooklyn, you have to make $60,000, and to live in Manhattan, you have to make $80,000. And it's like, that's a really arbitrary number. That didn't make any sense. Yeah. But then also, he'd be on steroids, so he'd be moody a lot. And then he would kind of just like cry on his phone in the middle of the day as he like chains. And that's what got him. He got fired ultimately. But I knocked
from which job?
From that not job.
You imagine you get fired for smoking on the go-go.
Yes. From the Alan Cut. One day he just got fired. And I think it's because steroids made him really emotional.
Yeah.
He would just chain smoke and then go to Equinox in the middle of the day.
Yeah.
And he explained the housing lottery to me. So anytime someone talks about the housing lottery, I think about him. And then this is the end of the story. Last part of the story. Then he went to work for RFK. But before RFK was crazy. In that,
is
like,
is that possible? Was there a time before? Yeah.
I think he used to be kind of just like chill climate change guy.
Does he even believe in that anymore?
Chill,
like,
chill and climate change. Yeah, don't seem like it should go
in the same. No, that's fair. He used to be, I think like pre-Cheryl Hines, maybe. Maybe not.
Really?
Yes. And I figured that out because LinkedIn. And he had an MBA from University of Arizona, but like, I wasn't, I think he was lying about that.
Okay. Okay. Have you ever played any of those types of like mafia, secret Hitler like
no,
games?
No, because I'm too stupid to understand it, apparently. I feel like people always try to tell me what, because I'm like, okay. I think I tried it once and I was like, does the person who's supposed to be like the murderer, are they aware that they're the murderer?
Yes.
And how is that explained to them? Is it explained
You're tapped.
To them?
They you're tap you in every game, version, even yeah, this one.
And like in card versions or board game version of it, usually like there's like a little packet you get with like your cards and it says okay. That you're the murderer. I'm always relieved when I'm one of the good people because I'm like, thank God I don't have to like lie my way through this. I can just, but anytime
so it's a
I
series
get
series of like questions and stuff, right?
That's a good, no, it's not.
So these are challenges like on the game, like in the show. Like,
yes, but the challenges are, and this is the flaw of the game, are not related to who.
Yeah, they're not mind games. They're not like questioning each other or anything like that. It's like, now you guys have to take this boulder up a hill together. It's like, what is it? And make $20,000 for the prize pot. But it has like, there's like you said before, there's no incentive for the traders to do a bad job or anything like that.
And if you
gotta just observe everybody's every move.
Yeah. Yes. And like in the
but
house,
what are you observing
in the challenges
for? Like observing for what? Like,
yeah. Like, are they? And but they have, yeah, no, it's a flawed game for sure.
But I'm such a supporter and I want to be on it. But like, I do, it doesn't make sense.
So it's a show. I mean, basically, not even the show. The game itself is encouraging people to learn how to lie better.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But like, lie about what? And then also, what doesn't make sense is that, like, so like Jeremy got murdered, but like, that doesn't mean he did anything wrong. Like, you just get randomly murdered.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing. It's kind of like Survivor, where I feel like there's people that get. Like their turn, like, but I think that happened to Bob the Drag Queen. Like, I think he got taken out early because he was good, and like, they don't like the, you know, other strong players don't want the competition, so they like, so it's also like,
I think they took him out early because he was loud, and it's like, that's a gay thing. You can't just take
sure,
loud people
too
out.
Yeah, but yeah, but also like, I feel like the, I don't know, there's no way to be a traitor and to sabotage the game other than just creating confusion.
Yeah. Which there already is because no one knows who you are.
Or how
like,
to play.
There's like such, there's no game. I actually like it
this
less than when we started.
Yeah.
My life is already filled with enough chaos.
Yeah.
Well, the chaos, I am excited for the future because now the chaos is that the other two traders, Danielle Reyes from Big Brother season 3, which is like 20 years old, and then Carolyn, who's an addict, are like now need to turn on Bob because now they don't trust, or Rob, Boston Rob.
Carolyn was crying at one point, but she's had
I'm
so much plastic surgery that it was.
She's an addict.
That's what I gotta do. I gotta produce like a reality show that lasts for fucking 50 years, so I don't have to do nothing else.
I know. I wish we. I could,
man,
be the next
Survivor.
Andy.
Been on TV half my age, and I'm like, damn. I remember when Survivor got started. I remember when Big Brother got started.
Yeah,
like, them motherfuckers are wealthy. Whoever came up with that fucking concept.
Jeff Probst has been on that show for
that's right,
50 seasons.
Yeah, I met that guy when he came to SNL. Very good work.
Does he? did he host?
No, he just did like a little walk on.
Oh, okay, so okay, sure. Okay.
He was nice.
I feel like that show must have like obviously the celebrities that are there for hosting, but there's probably always just a bunch of people like around just because.
The more obscure a person is, the easier it is to get them, because they're like, if you call
Padma Lakshmi.
She stays hanging out backstage. And I saw her actually the last time when I visited there, she was there. Yeah, but if the person, even go more obscure than that, you know what I mean?
Dylan Efron.
If it's somebody who's like a regular person but famous and they're like, fuck you, I'm gonna leave my kids at home. I'm flying to New York. What the fuck you mean? This will never happen again, you know?
The kids are coming in a dog carrier.
So you gotta write in a celebrity that's like, this shit rocks. I cannot believe that they can't say no.
Yeah, that's so funny.
That's how you get Jeff Probst and his shorts on there.
That's true.
When I was a child, I had a naked fake photo of Jeff Probst printed out under my bed. And it was naked. It was so big. Like, it was giant. It had to be fake. It was like, and it was printed out on my family printer.
The photo was big.
I did a similar thing of Nelly in like 2002 on my family printer. I printed out a color photo of him shirtless.
So much ink.
Like the V-cut, the pants down to the V.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I think I printed it out. I don't know why I thought I was going to hang it up in my room. My mom was going to say something. But,
what's crazier than like internet history is that if you try to print something and it doesn't print right away, it's like in the cloud. And it's like, it's kind of just.
It prints after your mom like has to print.
She's printing out a permission slip and it's like naked Jet Pros, bush, giant cock. Yeah, that's not good.
Oh my God. Yeah, it's like, who knows when this is coming out? When the true like, printer making
X. Honestly, need to just like literally take a fucking sledgehammer to the printer is the only way to get it done.
Literally. That's so funny. Should we get in some boys clubs?
Yes. What is a boys club that you're not a part of?
That I'm not a part of? Tattoo.
You don't have any tattoos?
No.
Have you ever been interested in it, or
I've always said I wanted to get a tattoo, but I just never, I've never been presented with the occasion. I've never walked past a tattoo parlor and been like, I gotta see what's going on in here. I don't know. I've always said it, but that's the thing. I'm a really indecisive person. Mm-hmm. So it can be, one minute I can be like, damn, I want to get like a crown on my shoulder. But then the next I'm like, no, that's going to look stupid.
Yeah.
I always fight with it because I know they're not permanent. Tattoos don't have to be permanent, but it feels so permanent.
Yeah.
Because my thing is,
it's pretty permanent. I mean, like, you can get it off, but.
Yeah.
That's also a big procedure.
But I'm also just like, I don't know. It's just something about it. I don't know. Because then what I've heard is that they're addictive.
Yeah.
Once you get one, you get another one. And I'm afraid of that. I'm afraid of becoming too like, oh, I'm actually obsessed with this. And now I'm covered in tattoos.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be covered in tattoos because this is no shade to anybody, what I'm getting ready to say. This is what my sensory does. I see a lot of people. I see someone with a whole lot of tattoos.
Yeah.
And I'm like, they don't look clean.
Yeah, it definitely gives you like a different vibe. There's a guy that lives by me who has like, he's bald and he has like a full face and skull tattoo, and I was like, God, like that is such a big
lot.
Decision to put up on your head. Yeah, I got my first tattoo in 2022. I have five, I think, some on my legs and little ones.
Are they like,
and
everywhere?
I have one here, and then I have some little ones on my arms. They're not that big. Honestly, though, I did a film shoot over the summer, and I had to cover them up, and I was like, I'm not getting any more. That's such a fucking waste of time to sit there in the
makeup
chair.
How long did it take?
It's not that bad, but it was like 30 minutes every morning getting, and then like all day they're touching them up and stuff. But I found that like for me, I was so indecisive about. Oh, like what? Like, especially for the first one, I was like, oh, this is such a big decision. Like, what am I going to do first? Mm-hmm. But then when I just started looking at, especially in New York, there's so many artists that do like flash sets where they like do the design and then you just choose. That was way easier for me than like having to come up with my own. Cause I was the same way. I was like, oh, maybe I'll do this. And I'm like, no, you idiot. That's going to look terrible.
Yeah.
Cause I feel like my brain does not work visually in that way. So I can't like see that image unless somebody else drew it.
I mean, I have even more respect for people who like go out and find people to draw their tattoo. But then I'm also like, well, fuck you. These tattoo parlors got like thousands and hundreds of thousands of designs in here. You can't find one in here to make their job. Now they got to go off your fucking artist friend from Instagram's fucking suggestion. Get out of here.
I know. I got two back-to-back days. I was 21 years old. I was living in Baltimore. I was working on a presidential campaign. No money. So I like left work early for free. And then I got them like literally back-to-back days. And then I was done. I just never did it again. Yeah. One I hate. This one I love. I love this. It's on my ribcage. It's like simple and chill. The one on my back, you know it's bad.
It's okay.
It's slutty and weird.
What is it?
I don't think it's slutty and weird. I just don't think it really fits you at all.
At all. Because I'm not Pakistani. And I'm supporter. I'm a supporter.
What is it?
It's not the Pakistan flag. Like, but it's not.
It looks pretty similar.
It looks really similar to the
But it's just moon and stars.
What drove the decision to get it?
I'm a moon boy. I don't know. I was 21 and I was like, if I return to college with one tattoo, that's kind of just a thing I tried. But if I return with two, it's like, this is who I am now. Yeah. So I wore a sorority tank and I was like, the tattoo just needs to like sort of peek out of this so people will see it when I'm on the treadmill at the gym. And so
foolproof plan. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I think I thought we were all gonna die after college. And
totally.
So then he did Alex Reed. I still have his business card somewhere because I like I've moved with it for literally like 10 years.
Because we want another one. Put it on the other shoulder.
And I remember the smell of Aquaphor takes me
we
right
can
back.
Just cover you in flags of the world.
You know what? That's true. If you're going to get one flag, you need to get all of them.
Yeah.
It would take the pressure off Pakistan to stay. It's like, no. I just have, this is just a thing I do.
Yeah. Also have the Maldives and other things. Yeah.
What I always say about yours is that you have Lover Boy. If I got 1989 boy.
That's my biggest
Lover
regret.
Boy feels like it should be on lower back.
yeah, probably should.
I don't, if you're gonna have that, it should only go down.
Oh no, it's on this arm. I have it here on my
okay,
arm.
Okay,
that's
fine.
On my arm. It is my most regretted tattoo.
Why?
Well, okay, because two things. One, words are always hard because, like, pictures, I don't know. I feel like they're easier to justify. Mm. Whereas with, like, words, it's like, oh, what does it mean? And also because I work with kids, they're always like, Lover Boy, what's that? And I'm like, I'm going to kill myself.
You're like, my dead dog. You freaking loser.
The other thing is, it was, like, days before, and I didn't know this. I'm not really a big Drake fan, but
I was just getting ready to ask you, how was this before or after?
It was, like, so close to the time, which was really unfortunate. Thankfully, that album didn't do much, and it kind of, like, whatever. So I don't think it's been associated with it anymore, but...
Oh, definitely. Listen, you're in luck. That title has not been associated with him for a long time.
Thank fuck. Yeah, but
at least the last 9 months.
Yeah. Anyway, but it was kind of something where I was like, oh, I think I want to get something that like represents masculinity in a way that because it was around the time I was transitioning and stuff. But in hindsight, every time I say that, I'm like, that's too earnest. But anyway.
No, I think it's beautiful. I don't think Loverboy is weird. Some people are out there getting like fucking peace or you are here. Like, no.
Yeah.
No offense. No shame.
You are here.
But it's like they're good. Or this is
the semicolon. Yeah.
It's like, that's a lot for us. That's a lot.
The semicolon, isn't that like suicide?
Yeah. It's like, you tried? No, I'm sorry. We're sorry. Yeah. It's just like, that is a lot to project to the world.
I'm learning something, so y'all good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess there's an eating disorder one, too. That one's amazing. But there is like an eating disorder one, too. Slay.
The only one I know is like the sober one.
What's that?
Like the, please don't serve me. People get, please don't serve me on their arm, on their inner arm. So when they go to bars, the bartender's like, but I don't know, why wouldn't you just say I would like a Sprite?
It feels like if your alcoholism is hinging on an inked in note into your skin to any bartender.
Like if I'm the tattoo artist having to like write on this person's arm, please don't serve me, I'm just like,
yeah,
you're feeling another addiction. Like, what is this? What
it's also doing? Like gut sleeves.
Yeah.
Like,
and is there a set price for please don't serve me?
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
Is it like a that's, discount if you're like suicidal?
That's so funny.
I also feel like underneath please don't serve me and also like and if lost call this number, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like there should be like
of the tattoo book is that like where all of those different issues.
Literally.
It's like the mahogany section in the CVS.
They give you
Hallmark card.
Psych eval before they give you those tattoos. Yeah.
I have burn, which does make people think of Ellie Goulding, which is pretty, like, that's not great.
Burn, you have that tattoo?
Yes, from a book that I read
Where
when I was
that?
18. It's on my rib cage. We should use our visual medium.
Okay.
There it
does
is.
Does it look perfect? Yeah, it looks good.
I do like it. It has commas. We got in a fight with the tattoo artist about commas. There's little commas. Burn. Because that's how it is in the book. And he's like, I don't like the commas. And it's like, it's not your body. It's not your body, Alex.
Well, you know what's funny is like, or I don't know if it's funny, but like interesting. There's like now, like tattoo artists, sometimes the reason you have to cover them up if you are acting in something is because the tattoo artist can sue for using their material.
Really?
In like a film or TV show, but it feels like as soon
how
as that...
How would you even remember what the fuck you put on somebody?
I guess if they're an actor and you like
know. Or if you're not making that much money, I guess you taking stock of all the fucking artwork you've done over the past how many ever years.
Yeah, that's one of my three tattoos I've got. But it just feels like as soon as the... And listen, if you're a tattoo artist and you disagree, write it in the comments. I'm interested to hear your thoughts. But
whoever's writing in the comments about that wedgie question, who is that? They've posted it multiple times. Stop doing that.
None of us have gotten a wedgie.
Someone has asked, like, you guys should talk about wet... I don't even know. But fucking internet is gross.
It feels like as soon as you... The tattoo is on somebody's body, now it's theirs. It's their body.
It's... Our yes. Wait, I feel bad. It's like we don't have that many commenters to, like, to drag the wedgie person. Actually, I do keep commenting it. Beggars can't be choosers.
But it just feels like it's an art form that yours. You have to make peace with letting, because it's the same thing as, like, if I guess if you did, like, a painting and you sold it to somebody, like, now that's their painting, I guess.
Yeah. But he also wanted the stars to twinkle. He was really, and I was like, no, they should look not twinkly, but he was, that would have solved the Pakistan problem.
Yeah, he was thinking
ahead. Not problem. Not problem. It's not a problem.
The last thing we need is another problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is bad because, like, when I wear a sleeveless shirt at the gym or something, it's just like, it's like, it's a little, it's like, that's slutty and that's a lot.
That's okay though.
Yeah.
That's okay. I also feel like when you're saying, like, going by, it's also one of those things, like, yeah, you're not probably just going to, like, be like, oh, let me just, I got 3 hours to kill. Let me stop in a tattoo shop right now.
I never think about it. I mean, I just remember in high school, my friends started going together and getting tattoos together, and I just wasn't a part of those, you know, plans. And then college, the only thing I did was get my ear pierced. Well, ears, but I got both pierced, and then I went home, and my mom was like, now, I didn't want you to get one pierce, but you went off and got two. That's crazy work. But fortunately for her, the one in my right ear started hurting. So I took it out. I took it out and remained with this one because this was starting to get infected.
So you saved her from the gay ear.
Yeah, is that the gay ear?
The gay ear is right, the right
is, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Which so, I didn't realize. That's what I put mine
that
in.
Was God, that was God. That was God being like, look,
yeah,
I'll reason with you.
One for you, one for your mom.
Yeah. But my mom has a tattoo. And that's the funniest thing about it, because she's used to, I mean, with a tattoo, I could, when she's saying this to me with a tattoo on her shoulder, I don't want you getting tattoos. I'm like, there's one on your shoulder. She's like, listen, and I don't want this on my shoulder anymore. She still has it on her shoulder to this day. And that was years ago when I was thinking about getting a tattoo. But it's really funny because my mom has the symbol of life on her shoulder, and it's like the ankh. It's like an African like symbol, and it's like small. It's like not even that huge. But then she got with my stepdad, and coincidentally, he has an ankh on his shoulder.
Oh my gosh!
It's a large one though. So hers is little, his is a large one, and they didn't like. It wasn't like they went. They didn't know each other.
Oh wow! Mother.
So, you know, that's. I don't think that's like their half of a locket heart.
Yeah,
that's not what that is. But I was like, I did toy around with the idea of getting an ankh on my shoulder just to kind of like make that whole thing.
Yeah.
That, you know, but I don't think my stepdad would see it better than my mom would.
That's cool though. I feel like when there's like a cool, like meaningful symbol like that, it feels, I don't know, that speaks to me more than like, that's I think one of the reasons I don't like the words as much, because I'm like, why don't I put words on me? It just feels, I don't know, well, symbols, you know, feel better.
But see, yeah, but y'all benefit from having lighter skin, because I never understand why black people get words, especially dark skinned black people. I'm like, I can't read that shit. You know,
have you
the tattoos are for light-skinned people. Tattoos with words, put this on the record, tattoos with words on them are for light-skinned people of color and white people, like, because we have to be able to read it.
Yeah. I guess unless it's the white tattoos that, like,
they have,
like,
those.
Yeah, they have like light colored tattoos. I've
white people
get.
Be looking awesome in tattoos because the color just like explodes.
Yeah,
off of white people. Yeah, y'all win again.
Yeah, the wait, I had something I was gonna say about getting my parents also were like so anti-tattoo. Neither of them had it, but they were always like anti-tattoo until I came out and I was like, well, I'm gonna get something that like represents my gayness, and they were like, fine, I guess you can.
I mean, they're like, we've gone this far.
Yeah,
you know, let's do it.
Yeah.
Do your siblings have, do you want to talk about that?
They don't. I think that but they're all younger than me, so I think there's time. I think I know my sister was thinking about it. She texts me every once in a while, like, I think I'm gonna get a tattoo, but she's the same thing that a lot of people, like, we were talking about. It's like, oh, I just don't know where to start. I feel like that's the biggest hurdle, because once you get one, then it's like, oh, well, this actually is so meaningless. I could get lunch. Yeah.
There's a girl that takes my Pilates class that she has a Diet Coke tattoo, and I really like it. No, I like it.
Okay, is it the Diet Coke logo or a can of Diet Coke?
The logo.
Okay.
Diet Coke.
And why?
I don't think she's like an artsy girl.
Sure, okay.
She's like a cool artsy, maybe bisexual girl.
This is no shade to her. You're not going to catch me putting a corporation on my body, but...
That's fair. But like Diet Coke, I think, is more than a corporation. It's a mindset.
See, that's what they've convinced you. That's what they've convinced us of. Yeah.
I was in Ireland. They don't do Diet Coke over there. Diet Coke is American. We're the only people that are unwell enough to be doing Diet Coke. They do Coke Zero. Yeah.
Because we'll find new and creative ways to kill each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
So you didn't grow up with people in your family having tattoos? Or
no. My uncle has like two, but it was always like, yeah, he got those when he was 18, so don't get them. Like, right, that was kind of always
the
vibe.
Did you grow
no,
up with family?
I'm still the only one. Yeah. No, my uncle. My uncle.
I have like plenty of years.
Yes, my uncle has like... He like it like not the movie Rudy, but maybe like maybe like maybe a Celtic cross or like a Fighting Irish kind of thing,
little Catholic
kind of guy. Yeah, the vibe.
I feel like too, because
yes,
like I have a cousin. Well, this isn't cultural at all. Which is just I have a cousin named Mary, but we call her Pooh, Pooh, and she has a tattoo of Winnie the Pooh on her titty.
That's so sweet. I love that.
Right by her heart. That's sweet. Yeah, that's sweet.
And I got another, I got a cousin that got paw prints on her titty. A lot of titty tattoos in my family.
Yeah.
Paw prints, like Eve, like how Eve used to have when she mm-hmm. was with Ruffer. Oh, she still probably has them, but she's covered them up now. Cherries. It's a lot of cherries on girls that I went to school with.
Yeah, I see a lot of cherries. Yeah,
cherries.
What is that? Just like a sweet, cute thing.
Yeah.
I think you see it mostly on women. You know, like
it's kind of like a cutesy thing. Like, I wonder.
Betty Boop.
Yeah.
I wonder. But Betty Boop usually goes on like the shin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or something like that. Not the shin. It's like the shin. Yeah.
I think finger tattoos are really hot.
Finger tattoos are
like
cool.
Miley Cyrus got an equal sign like 15 years ago to like support us and
and maybe herself
and herself also actually, and like that was big.
Yeah. I wonder if getting I bet a tattoo on a titty would not be so bad because it's like a lot of fat, so I wonder if it doesn't hurt as much.
That's true,
because like the one on my leg hurt like shit.
The quad,
yes, which I thought it was gonna that's the first tattoo I got.
Wherever the bone is.
Yeah, I think like also because there's a lot of like tendons and stuff here. Mm-hmm. It was just like because I thought for sure this was gonna be fine, but it hurt the most of any of the tattoos I've gotten.
Now that we bring this up, I really want to have. I really need to get some clarity on people who get tattoos on their ass.
Like if it hurts or why they do it.
Who's it why? For?
Yeah. I mean, I guess if
you
you're
don't
like...
see it.
Yeah.
I know. And if it's like...
See, that's a slutty one.
You can say the same thing. You can say the same thing about a back tattoo. You don't really see it. So yeah, why are people getting tattoos?
But Alex, people do when I turn around. And they see it at the most inopportune time. And then it's like, now I have to like...
But the ass is another...
You never
want to
turn around
level.
And apologize.
Yeah.
I think the back is... there's a good case for getting tattoos on your back.
Yeah.
But the ass is like... What's going on?
The ass is dumb because it's like, oh, it's like I see this intimate part of you. It's like, yeah, also your ass. So like, it's kind of like we don't need the tattoo.
Does it make it taste better?
Yeah. Oh my god. Yeah.
I thought about that, and I'm just like, now. Whenever I see a tattoo on an ass, I'm like, now they had to walk into a place, and a tattoo artist had to like spend an hour to 2 hours. On some stranger's butt cheeks.
Workers' rights. That's not right. Like that is no.
That's not nice.
It's not. It's really not. I didn't even think about that. Yeah, the tattoo artist has to be. I wonder how many tattoo artists are faced with like having to. Because I would hope if I was gonna get a tattoo on my ass, I would definitely find a tattoo artist that was comfortable showing my ass to.
Sure.
And like make that relationship happen before being like, hey, I'm gonna get a tattoo on my ass. But I bet there's tons of tattoo artists who just like some dude shows up with the hairiest and then they gotta shave the ass to get the tattoo on it. Like that's gotta be pretty gnarly.
I've always been curious. I'm just like, what is this about?
Yeah.
I feel like ass tattoo is giving, you studied abroad in Costa Rica and you all got drunk on the last night and then got like a palm tree on your butts and you went to UVA and like that's an ass tattoo.
It does just feel like very drunk idea.
Yeah.
Which you're not supposed to be getting isn't it?
Yeah, you're supposed to sign a thing that you're not drunk, and they're not supposed to give it to you. Yeah,
it's hard. You only get so many intimate bits, you know. So like, you gotta protect your intimate bits in this world.
True. I mean, that is like a good story of like, remember that time we went out of town and got drunk and got them tattoos on our butt?
Yeah,
like we did.
And now we all have tattoos on.
I've just never seen my ass for like the last 5 months.
Damn.
Oh, I have a brand on my butt. I just remembered that. Have I showed you that before?
I don't think so.
Brand is an aggressive word. And when people call me on it, I'm like, you're right. It's more just okay, so I went on this like religious retreat when I was like 17. But not, it wasn't conversion therapy or anything. It was like, it was just a religious
retreat. Like
it does sound like it was actually, people come out on this.
Yeah.
Not me,
it's
but
opposite.
Other people did.
Yeah.
And so that we had these like metal pins in the shape of a dove, and then we would just light them and then burn them into each other. And I have one on my butt and then one on my arm. That you can kind of see. Oh, wait. It's not a brand. Can you see that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you can kind of see.
It's a dove.
I can see how it was a dove. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a dove. But I did want to trip Kenny. Trip. And I'm not going to say anything bad about him, so we can keep this. Trip. And then it was like maybe infected. And I was like 17. I was so nervous.
Oh,
I was like,
God.
This is going to lose his arm. And I'm going to get called down to the office because I did this on a retreat.
You gave him tetanus.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like you could get kicked out of school for giving someone tetanus. on a school retreat.
What happened to Janda? How he gave that kid tetanus again. Dang. Well, I mean, this is pretty hardcore of you to have
right.
a brand.
Yeah. I don't know if it's a brand. Like brand feels aggressive.
That also feels like something they do in frats. Like they brand each other.
No one branded me in a frat.
Yeah.
That feels like something that they like do.
We didn't get branded. We didn't get hazed. It was like nothing gay.
It had just started.
Yeah, I know. I was a founding father of a fraternity, which is like, if you're in a frat, you don't want to start it.
You are a founding father.
That's not good. Like you want
to. Wow. So you like. In like 100 years, you're gonna be in the circles, the pictures of all the
yes.
black and white.
I do look really good in the headshots.
They're gonna be black and white at this. But the color gonna fade out.
Yeah,
I hope so. And then like maybe people will have to like learn my name. And it was a Jewish fraternity.
They
I definitely
will have to learn your name.
Yeah,
isn't that how the process of
I don't like, know. I was pretty disconnected from it. I was like it was the kind of thing where it's like every day I was like, I'm quitting my fraternity, and then I just like didn't. And my dad was like, just stop talking to me about it. Like do or don't, but like.
So the process of starting a fraternity is what you just pick the Greeks, whatever Greek letters are available in that.
Well,
order.
The process is you're gay, and then you don't get into the real ones, and then the best one's like, hey, we're starting one. You're fine.
Oh, wow. So you forced your way into that particular boys' club.
I was Catholic, yeah. But they were just like nice to me, and and then I was just like in the fraternity.
So is it recognized by
which is like also like
of yours?
Yeah, I mean you don't want one that's recognized. You want to be in one that was kicked off campus. You know, like that's a cool
frat. That has some lore
like,
to it.
Yeah. Like Sig Chi, like they were kicked off for drugs or I don't know, hazing. It's like not us. Like we're having fucking fundraisers. Like it was bad. I was the philanthropy chair.
Yeah, they kicked me. Well, I didn't join, but they kicked me out because they tried to haze me, but I would fight back. And I'm like, they're like, you're not supposed to do that. I'm like, well then. I got bust on many warnings because I would like hit people back.
Yeah.
Wait, where'd
well,
you go
I
to
mean,
school?
Fair enough.
Wait, that's also crazy. The word back was doing so much work in that sentence. The word back was doing
yeah,
so much work
I
in that
hit you back.
They were hitting you. They beat you up.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Shit.
I would swing back too. Yeah. That's not something I would be
that's
cool
just
with.
Instinctively what I do. And then
for
they
sure.
They kept being like, yo, you cannot fight us. We're trying to like do. I'm like, I'm not gonna let you hit me, and then I'm not gonna hit you back. That's just not gonna happen.
I've never understood.
I don't give a fuck about this thing.
I've never understood that about frats either. That like the hazing and the initiation is so like punishment oriented. It's like, why would I want to be around a bunch of dudes who like to your point?
And
you just
I gotta act like
me.
I like you for the rest of my life.
Yeah, after you were mean to me in a basement for fucking 5 months. Yeah.
But then the other thing was, so some of the frats had to work out every morning at 5 a.m. if you were pledging, which I also did because I had a mental problem. And so it'd literally be me in the SIGET pledge class. But then other frats weren't allowed to work out at all for 2 months. That was part of their hazing. And it's like, don't you want your brothers to be, huh? Like, what's going on?
Yeah.
Or you want
like,
your brothers in the gym.
At least if you're, like, if you're going to make them so unhealthy and, like, not let them sleep or, like,
yeah.
or and have to binge drink, like, at least let them exercise to balance it out.
Yeah. You know what? Lambda Chi Alpha was not doing that.
That's why they're still on that campus.
Yeah. It's weird to be 30 and dropping fraternity names from your college. Like, it's just like, okay, move on, grow up.
Yeah. Well, you're a founding father.
It's crazy how
it's
Peter Pan syndrome can also operate in that way, that you're like, you don't just like not grow up, like you're always like young. You're also just like always still mad at people from the past. And it's like, let it go. Yeah. Let it go.
Okay, tattoos. That's a good one. Should we do another one?
What's a boys club that you are a part of?
that I am a part of. excuse me. Oh, the TV show Cheers.
Wow.
Okay, I'm, new,
I'm newly into that club because I did not know how big of like a fandom that show was has. And my mom, I know my mom used to watch it, and because she used to watch Frasier a bunch also. And I never really got into Frasier either. But then I've recently been taking some time to watch Cheers from like season one, although I'm not even finished with the entire series yet.
Was it like 11 seasons or something?
I think something like that. Mm. And I was like, I mean, I'm immediately, I'm like, this shit rocks.
Do they leave the bar ever?
No.
That's fascinating.
Well, not even like in the first, not they do like in later seasons, mm. but the first like four seasons, mainly every, all the action is happening in Cheers. It's such a big set.
Yeah. It's like a one act play or something.
Cheers
yeah.
is the theme song, and everybody knows your name. Okay, okay. Because I've never seen it. It's also, I know of it from my parents liked it when I was growing up.
That's definitely a my parents' ass show, yeah, you know?
I need to watch that because I just, did you watch like Golden Girls?
Yes.
Like that, is that, they're like the same era, I think, like similar.
I think, yeah, they are very similar.
Maybe a little earlier is Cheers.
A little overlap between, with the two, but.
It's also impressive that they're able to keep the entire storyline happening inside one location.
In one location, and then, because, I think the fun thing about that show is that, like, everything outside of the bar is to be assumed or to be, like, determined in your mind, like, George Wendt's character, you know, his wife, he talks shit about her every episode, but you never see her, you know,
yeah.
you never hear her. You just, all you have is to go off what he says about her, which I think is really funny. And, also like, it wouldn't have even occurred to me, but like Ted Danson is supposed to be a heartthrob on this show.
Yeah.
And I only know Ted Danson present day.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I was wait, is he fine? I'm like, oh.
I'll take your word for it.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
I mean,
when
you put him next to Shelley Long, I guess. But
is Kirstie Alley the hot girl on the show?
Kirstie
What's her
Alley
vibe?
She shows up after Shelley Long's character Diane leaves. And I haven't gotten there yet.
Is Rhea Perlman in it?
Rhea Perlman is in it and just as mean as ever. They gave her some lines on that show. I'm like, damn, can they soften her up a bit? God damn. Why is she so mean? But she also has like six kids. So
there you go.
That's probably why she's a girl.
Yeah. that's probably accurate.
So is it like there's a bar owner? Are most of them patrons? Who are the main characters?
So Ted Danson is the owner of the bar, Cheers. George Wendt is Norm. He's an accountant. He's a regular. John Ratzenberg? I forget. But he's a mailman. Shelley Long is Diane, who comes in and gets hired as a cocktail waitress. Mm. She's like prissy, snobby, you know, I'm above this, but needs a job.
Like a Rachel Green kind of.
Yeah. And then Rhea Perlman. So it's a nice ensemble of people, and they got like, you know, reoccurring people coming in and out. Woody Allen,
oh no way.
Woody Allen? No. Woody Harrelson.
Woody Harrelson.
Oh thank God.
Woody,
he's so good.
And you saw me get excited. You're like, wait, hold on, why are you so happy, Alex? No, Woody, a 25-year-old Woody Harrelson.
Shit.
25-year-old Woody Harrelson. He comes in because he replaces in the first like four seasons, there's an older guy who is a bartender as well. I forget the name of the guy, but the name of the actor, his first name is Nick something. The character's name is Coach. He's an older, kind of like slower, you know, like 11 year an old man with an 11-year-old brain.
Yeah.
But it's because Coach used to coach for Ted Danson's character, because Ted Danson's character is a retired relief pitcher for the Boston Red Sox.
Oh.
And so he owns this bar, and then Coach is also someone who used to play baseball. So I think the lore behind Coach is that he used to get hit in the head all the time. And so now that's why he acts the way he acts.
Yeah, that's funny.
But that character was really sweet, but he ended up, the actor ended up dying, like, in the middle of or to be just before season four. So it's this weird like thing where like you see Coach every episode. He sometimes he has his own episodes and yeah. shit. Then he falls off. No, not falls off. He goes on a vacation. That's what the show is written. Like he's going somewhere. And so every time we hear about Coach, it's like he's still on vacation. Oh, he's still figuring out where to go here. Like, and then I guess they just didn't know how to address yeah. his death. So
they didn't even say like he moved. Like they're like, yeah, he's been on the yeah. longest vacation of all time.
Truly, but then at the start of season four, a regular comes in and asks for a Coach, and that's when they were like, okay, Ted Danson's character is like, oh, I don't know if you heard, but Coach passed, and it's like, oh, okay. But even in the show, it still sort of isn't like discussed how.
Yeah. Did you watch The Sopranos?
The first couple seasons I've seen, but I didn't.
That's where I'm at, and I have three more, and I'm like, I'm kind of over it.
Sorry. No, why? Don't be sorry.
I'm trying to engage with high art in this new year, but I'm just like, I don't want that. But the mom, spoiler alert. The mom, his mom dies.
Yeah.
And then they do one. And there's a really bizarre scene on like green that they like, it's like AI, like 20 years ago, mm-hmm. that after she was dead to like lead up to her death. And the scene looks so bizarre. And then you're like, oh, it's fake. And then they just kill her off.
Oh, to like piece it together.
Yes.
Oh, God.
There's one scene that if you watch it, you're like, yeah, that's really weird. That looks yeah. like she's in front of a green screen. And it's like, yeah, she's a dead woman.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and then they kill her off.
Television stuff. Has always like loose endings to TV shows. I'm always like, because there's a couple out there, like I don't know if y'all have seen like Family Matters from the 90s.
Yeah,
if you recall the very last episode of Family Matters. The series ends with Steve Urkel in space, like stuck in space.
Did they know it was gonna end? I guess
I can't imagine they did if that's how they were ending.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like he had worked all this time to get with Laura. Like, in the cliffhanger of any of all cliffhangers is just like, yeah, Steve is stuck in space.
When I was a kid, I was obsessed with death, and there was a woman actor on that died really young.
Michelle.
Stomach cancer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes.
What's her name? Michelle? I forget her last name. Michelle Thompson. Yeah.
Yes.
Michelle Thomas.
Did they kill her on the... No, there's no way they killed her on the show.
They didn't kill her off. That would have been crazy.
That would have been tough for Family Matters.
I think they just... I forget what they did with Myra at the end, towards the end of her arc. I think she might have just like got written out as far as like being a love interest, because she was pretty heavy on the show. But
yeah.
Like, yeah, I forget what happened then.
But then I was a child, and I was like, oh my God, awful things can happen to you because this actor died that I looked up on the internet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you feel like Cheers, you feel like it holds up?
Certain episodes.
Yeah.
You know, they do get a little, I watched a couple episodes. There's this one episode where they think that the bar is getting ready to, the customers think that the bar is getting ready to turn into a gay bar because there's a guy who purchased another bar nearby, and it's like it turned into a gay bar. And then the customers are like, they see two guys come in and they assume, and I'm like, it's wild. But
that's funny.
Like everything, you have to consider when it was.
Yeah,
no, was that the 80s?
Because they 1985, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah,
and AIDS. It was AIDS.
Yeah, but then they were also just saying shit like, you know, sissy. There was a lot of sissy and pants.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
But I'm like, this is a show about a bar in Boston.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It could be a lot worse.
Probably like G-rated compared to what it really was.
It could
yeah.
be a lot worse.
Yeah. Yeah,
I like grew up on. Okay, shows were a little older than that, but Golden Girls I like a lot, and then like The Brady Bunch, Get Smart, Gilligan's Island, etc. Anything was on TV Land. I was kind of like a TV Land guy. Cheers was on at night. Cheers was like a late night show.
Nick at Night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh dang.
I feel like Cheers was on like after Friends.
Did it overlap with Friends?
No, Friends was in the 90s.
It overlapped.
94.
It overlapped with Seinfeld probably a little bit.
I don't know.
Because Seinfeld was 89?
That sounds right.
I think, I don't know.
It couldn't have been anything. Wait, Seinfeld would have been 89?
I think the first season was 89 and went through the
90s. I was born in 88. I feel like I remember when Seinfeld came on. Or am I telling myself that? I don't know.
I got really into watching Jennifer Aniston accept awards. So I would like Google Jennifer Aniston acceptance speeches and then just like watch all of them. And what's so interesting to me is that like in the 90s, the Emmys, like the comedy categories, it was like, I think that we have this like perception of like sitcoms are low art in a world with like The Bear or whatever. And it's like, no, back then it was like, it was Friends. It was Will and Grace. It was Everybody Loves Raymond. And they were like all sweeping awards.
Yeah. Well, it would also be because most. They overlap for
3 years. Oh, thank you, Jackson.
Oh, wow.
They overlap for 3 years.
Our gay producer. Sorry, don't say that. Our producer Jackson has Googled and confirmed. They overlap for three
Jackson's
years.
Jackson's in the booth.
Well, also there were so few shows like that, that like often, like a lot of those shows, the actors from the shows will all get nominated in the same category. So somebody's going to win.
Yeah.
From
yeah.
I know like when Golden Girls was getting nominated, all three of them, well, or at least, yeah, no. Rue, Betty, and what's her name? Estelle Getty. They were all like nominated in the same category for supporting actress, and eventually won each time. Yeah. Like,
was one of them not? Was there a fourth? Who was it?
Bea Arthur was a lead actress.
Oh, that's so interesting.
And she won. She'd win that.
Yeah.
I think they all won it. Yeah.
On Friends, I feel like they stopped putting themselves in the running because they were like.
Well, it's hard with that show because it's like they're all.
It's so many of them.
They're all leads, I guess, or they're all supporting. Like they're all equal. I don't think you could argue that there's lead of that show.
How do you pick out which?
I guess because they're also all kind of at the time where it seemed like they all sort of like rose into stardom at the same time. So that's like, yeah, not even like one of them was way more.
Except
famous.
For they say Courtney. I got really into watching documentaries about. I went on a Friends thing. It doesn't matter, but I was like, I'd be like watching like real life, like real time like news stories about Friends when it first came out. And Courtney Cox was famous at the time. She was the star.
I don't know why.
She was in like a Bruce Springsteen music video.
She had done something else, I think. Yeah.
Back then, you could be in a music video and then be a star. That's the 90s.
Yeah.
Don't ask me for another example of Courtney Cox.
But, you know, to your point about like the way that like the awards and stuff work, I feel like, I mean, yeah, I know we're definitely like at a time where we don't have that many like or any hard comedies really other than Abbott. And,
I think we have them. We consider them not. I think they're like not critically.
Well, the comedy category acknowledged has been changed. Yeah, it's just like kind of weird now. But you're even like
it's just based on time now.
Yeah,
it's
which like, is so fucking dumb.
If your show is 30 minutes, you can be labeled this. And it's like, well, I don't know.
That should not be what we're doing. That seems like the most arbitrary way to categorize things. And but even like a couple, even not that long ago, it was like a time where there was like 30 Rock, Parks and Rec, Veep, like all up at the same time.
And now it's just Office. Girls 5 Eva. Girls 5 Eva is like a weird. I love that show, but it's like a weird like descendant of all that because it's like Tina Fey universe, and I think it's still on. I don't know, maybe it got canceled, but
there's just an overabundance of like single camera TV right now.
Yeah,
to the point where nobody really even thinks about the like Norman Lear like multi camera style of like. You know, television making.
It feels like they didn't find.
It should come. It hasn't left, but it should come back in a way that's, you know, modern. And, you know, a lot of the other people, I think people shy away from multicam stuff because it's kind of cheesy. And it's like supposed to be safe. Oh, it's supposed to be
oh,
like.
Oh, no, that's us.
Safe.
Sorry about
like,
this.
You know.
We're going to cause a panic attack.
I don't know. I just don't want nothing to happen to the sound. I'm like,
the new Tim Allen show with Kat Dennings, I think is an have you seen it?
I've seen advertising.
It's my parents said comment on it.
No, I'll say something. A commercial came on.
Is anyone connected
to it? I saw a commercial for it.
A commercial came on when I was home and my parents looked at me and they go, does it make you upset when you see such bad things getting made? I was like, yes, it does.
Wait, it was incomprehensibly bad. Like it was worse than I could have imagined. Like it was bad. And the writing was just bad. But what's interesting about it is that, I'm sorry guys, you're doing great. But like I think they're trying to like do a modern of that. Like it's a laugh track, but I don't think it's on a sound stage. It's interesting.
Oh. Yeah. Cause I wish to your point, I think there is, it would be cool to see a multicam come back that didn't have that sort of oldness on it that like did feel like it was more modern. I mean,
but I would even push for the oldness of, I'm talking about material wise.
Yeah, sure, sure.
I think especially when we're giving Tim Allen another sitcom. Yeah, like he already did it. He's been every Santa Claus. He's not necessarily a voice that the public can cling to right now, or that for the type of jokes he was good then. Yeah. at the show. There are other people who can, newer people, fresher people with like more, because Home Improvement is fucking awesome. But it's like, we can make that happen again, just in another original show format. Yeah. You know, Golden Girls is, you know, like just like how we talked about Cheers. We rarely saw them, you know, leave the house.
Yeah.
That's what a lot of the action was. You know, when we did, we did. But, you know, that living room is, you know, that's why I like, you know, playing those little quizzes, like, which TV living room is this? Like,
yeah.
Can you identify?
Yeah. Yeah. That's funny.
There is something fun about having
something real about
like
it.
Like a real set and stuff. You know, this isn't obviously like an exact example, but I know Phantasma, Julia Torres' show, was like all on sound stages. Like they filmed like with like those practicals, which obviously is like different because it was still single cam, but it also feels like it's way cheaper to do those like sets and stuff, which would just make it, I don't know. Yeah, I'd be interested to see if those come back. I would also be, I would be curious to see if like younger audiences are, because they, people like, I mean, so many people have been rewatching Friends recently, and like you're rewatching Cheers. So like obviously there's,
I still haven't seen Friends.
I just rewatched it twice in a row, and I didn't even watch it.
You went
before,
through the entire way through twice?
Two times.
Wow.
How many seasons is that?
10.
Oh wow.
I love it.
10 times 20. So you watched 400 episodes.
They're really, I know, and I can't even get through The Sopranos. Give the guy Adderall for the love of God. But like, I don't want to go on drugs to watch The Sopranos. Like, I shouldn't have to do that. So,
well, you can do other things too.
Friends is a, it is six of the clearest. They're so clear, and it's, they're so, I don't know, they're just like really well written characters, and it's happy and it's lovely, and it's like you exist in this little universe for 21 minutes and then it's over. It's the best.
Yeah.
My brain goes to like those like I think Disney shows are a good example of like that, like from 10, 15, even more than that years ago, where it's like this like Technicolor kind of like modernish feeling thing, at least my memory of it is, that it's like, okay, what's a grown-up version of a Disney show, and would people cling to that? Like, would people be down for that? And I don't know how that's really any different than like Golden Girls, but like I wonder if you could, like, if someone could make it work.
Yeah, I would just be interested to see if like a modern audience could get past a visual that seems old.
What you mean, like a That's So Raven or something? Yes. Like that? What here's the funny part. You kind of have that. Doesn't she have a show? Doesn't Raven have like a show about her daughter or something like that?
Oh, is it called Raven's House?
It was something like that. Yeah.
Yes, so I've never seen it.
There's something to be said about that, because, you know, this is not a theme that the kids can pick up on, but for those who did watch That's So Raven, seeing Raven's Home and seeing that she has a daughter means that, oh, Raven started fucking at one point.
Yeah.
And so now we see the results of her being a woman.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
In a way.
And Annalise Vanderpool. Yeah.
I would love to see a show with the same conceit of her having a vision, but with like an adult premise. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. She's somebody I fucking loved that show as a kid, and I always, I wish she had, I don't know, I wish she was doing more. I feel, I mean, that's not on her. I wish people would put in more stuff.
Yeah. You know? Not The View. Don't go on The View. She's on The View for a while.
Oh, really?
Yeah. She got saved. She isn't on there anymore.
This industry doesn't know what to do with their talents.
That's interesting. Like, if you put Miley Cyrus on, she doesn't want to do that. But like, if you, would we accept someone that we've already seen on that kind of show? And it's like, if they're there, we accept this.
A grown up Hannah Montana.
Yeah. She's in that secret. She's in that protect. What's the way you're protected? You're in hiding. She's in hiding.
Witness protection. Witness
protection. She's in witness protection.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Because she's set up for that. She already knows how to live a double life.
I don't know that they, I don't think you could convince any Disney star to go back to that world. It seems like they're pretty over. Yeah, yeah. From what we've learned recently. Yeah.
No, they seem fine. Nickelodeon is the.
Well, that's where
the problem child.
That was tough. That was tough. Yeah, but I mean, yeah. They got rid of the Disney Channel.
The whole channel?
Well, they're just doing it on Disney Plus now. I don't know why they still
have it. There's no Disney Channel?
I mean, who's watching? I don't think there's that many kids watching like network anymore. They have Disney
Plus. My kids are going to watch PBS. PBS. Because I don't want them to yell. I want it. I feel like PBS is very like calm, weird kids. That's what I want.
Yeah, that's what I watched as a kid. So they'll turn out trans for sure.
Arthur, Wishbone. That's really it.
All right, should we get to our
last question? What's a boys club you wish to see in the world?
Oh, man. Oh, man. This was the one I was trying to figure out on the way here.
This is the hard one.
It's existential almost. A boys club that I wish to see in the world. More men openly. More men openly admitting to sitting down when they pee.
Totally.
I would love that.
Sometimes you just want to take a load off. You know what I mean?
I have a vested interest in this. I would really love this.
This is a good one for you. I get met sometimes with like, you know, I get met with pushback when I'm like, when I ask a guy, do you sit down to pee? And he's like, well, you haven't said hello to me first. But, and I'm like, hello, okay. Do you sit down to pee? And men sometimes, even friends of mine, be like, what are you talking about? I stand up. I'm like, what do you mean? What am I talking about? Like, what? See, it's not the fact that a lot of times it's not the fact that I have something that I take some grand issue with standing up to pee. That's not the case. Why do you feel like me asking that question or the idea, the insinuation of doing so is so out of this world?
Yeah.
It's an attack on their manhood.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Know.
There was this episode of The Sopranos where this guy with this, he was really enjoying getting this thing up his butt. And then later he says to others, he's like, she wanted to put a thing on, but it was so crazy. But he was like actually enjoying it like 2 minutes earlier. And I think it's the same thing.
I love sitting down.
Mm, yeah.
I've just At all times.
So, at all times. So
I am too. Yeah. I actually think that my biggest red flag is that on the subway, I'm seated. I'm freaking, unless there is a person asking for my seat with child, I am seated as hell. But I look pretty able-bodied, and I am. Yeah. So it's kind of just like, I'm not a good candidate to slide in there.
Yeah, I think arguably, I'm doing most, the majority of things I'm doing with pleasure, I'm sitting down.
For sure.
When we started our Boys Club Live show, there were no seats. It was like mosh pit.
Standing
and it's like
room only.
Uh-huh. And it's like, this is Maslow's hierarchy of needs. People need to be seated to feel joy and to laugh.
Yeah.
When me, Gary, and Devin started, when we did our first show at the Jane Hotel all to me like 5 or 6 years ago, that happened to us. It was our very first show, promoted it. We didn't think it was going to go crazy like that, but it was on the roof of the Jane. So when we got up there, literally it was just like, oh, everybody's just standing still, but we didn't even have like any sort of like raised
anything. Oh my
so
God.
We're standing like just slightly above the crowd and just like performing. Our poor audience, our poor audience members, and also comedians who had to just kind of like, it's crazy to be at a show where everybody's standing. It's kind of like Club Coming, where you're like, you're just standing and like,
yeah. It does feel like a recital.
You're just watching each other like, yeah, I'm going up. just don't ignore me right here. Just ignore me right here.
No, I'm not in line for the bathroom. I'm about to get on stage.
Yeah. So yeah, after that first show, the Jane was like, oh, y'all need to go downstairs. Yeah. This is a fire hair. So.
Yeah. I was thinking of Club Coming because anytime I've done Kat's show there, like her audience stands.
It's like,
and she's tall. I'm not. I'm standing eye level with these folks, even on stage. Like I'm like, this is not ideal.
Your eye level with like an NYU freshman.
Whoever produces, whenever I'm there, I'm like, listen, when I walk in, I'm gonna be all the way to the back. Let me know when I'm next, and then I'll start. Cause you gotta like, excuse me, excuse
and everyone
me,
will be mad at you, and then you'll say, I'm on the show,
me,
and then if you,
me. I just keep tapping, excuse me, excuse me, excuse me, excuse me, and until it's, I think by the time you get midway there, people are like, oh, okay, this person needs to get over this.
Yeah, yeah. There's nothing more humiliating than being like, cause then you're like, well, I've made an enemy, and my only goal is to make people like me, and I already have an enemy. How have I done this?
Well, yeah, before we did our show ever at Club Coming, we went to see we'd never seen a show there, so we had just booked the spot, and we were like, okay, we should go see one, and we went to one of Kat's shows.
It was George and Sam guest hosting.
Yeah, George Ferris and Sam Taggart were guest hosting,
oh, okay.
And we're standing in the back of this room, and I was like, we love comedy, this is what we do, and if we can't even fucking pay attention, like, people need to be seated. Like,
we can say it this many years later, everybody bombed except for Marsha Belsky, and she was seated, the only seated person in the room, Marsha Belsky, at her piano.
At the piano, yeah.
And it's like, yeah, these people, you can't thrive when people arise risen.
You can't. But back to the bathroom thing, to get back to the seatedness. I have a vested interest in this, obviously, yeah. as somebody who sits in the men's room a lot, because it's such a weird thing, because in a women's restroom, you don't know what somebody's doing in there.
Mm.
Like, they could be doing anything in there. They could be peeing, they could be pooping, they could do anything. You know what people are up to in the men's room. Like it's so divided, which I always find so odd, because then I got to be like, I'm the one taking a shit in here, even if I'm not, because I'm, you know what I mean? Like, I'm the one taking a shit at the beach today, because I'm going in the fucking stall. And so I would like it if more dudes would open up to doing that, so then all of us could feel... I don't know. It would put some pressure off me in the men's room. So selfishly, I'm in on this boys club too.
Okay.
I'm in for it.
There's a lot of shame around going into the stall, you know? There really is.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Well, that's the other thing. I'm always like, I'm following somebody who just took a huge dump. Like, it's such a nightmare. I hate the bathroom.
Also, I'm always nervous that somebody's filming.
I hate the bathroom. I hate any bathroom that's not my bathroom.
Yeah. No, me too.
I'm worried you're going to go look at my toilet seat.
But, huh?
You're going to look at my toilet seat and be like,
you have a nice toilet.
You're peeing everywhere.
like there's pee everywhere. Somebody is not sitting.
Or looking or holding. It's just like going over.
Yeah, but I feel like there's a silent majority of men out there who don't want to say it.
Yeah.
Because it feels too vulnerable. But
I don't really get that, though, because you're much in a more vulnerable position if you're facing the wall than you are seated facing the door.
Well, I don't know, because your pants are at your ankles.
True.
If you have on pants.
Yeah, I guess they're at your. I guess they're not at your ankles if you're standing. But you're still facing away from everybody. That feels more vulnerable to me than like. At least you're facing the door. If
I mean,
seated.
But you know, just I'm thinking of just even more like just in the privacy of your own home.
Yeah.
You know, you're just like, what's going on here? Like, why wouldn't you want to sit down?
Yeah. Also, I just feel like the urinal is simply a stressful experience in general. Like, the urinal, this is how I feel about saunas. Like, steam rooms, I feel like in a steam room, it's really stressful because you're, like, working so hard to show that you're not looking at anyone unless they want that. So it's kind of just, like, there's so much to navigate. So you're just like, but that's
room,
a urinal.
Steam room shit, I'm just always kind of like, yeah, man, there's dicks in here. It's not, like, if I catch a glimpse of it, and you don't get mad at me, bro. Put your towel on. I don't know. I'm just, it's right there.
And it's also like, where are we supposed to look?
It's like, it's mad people literally in here. It's crazy to me. That the culture of that shit is so funny to me. I'm like, yeah, dude, we're all, there's no, I saw somebody in there before just with a full, they came in with a shirt. Basically, they workout clothes. I was like, so what's this? Yeah. What is this?
That is really crazy.
What are you
crazy
so afraid of
me? Yeah.
I feel like I do a whole dance where I sit and I pretend that I'm just like I'm like, oh, I'm just thinking, and then I run my hand through my hair like I'm just like sweat everywhere because I don't want anyone to think that I'm like staring at them, and it's like they know, like just sit there, just like sit there.
But you feel that at the urinal too, that you have to look straight.
I feel like at the urinal you have to like work extra hard to make this is trauma, and to make sure that like no one is like, oh, he's looking at me. It's like, I'm not, like we have Grindr. I'm not trying to like beat someone to the urinal, like we're good.
But gay urinals are different
at gay bars.
Like if you go into like a regular bar, if you go into a bar with like, you know, when it's the queer bars, when you're a dude, yeah,
the sip and twirl,
everybody's looking.
You've been to the sip and twirl? You know what the sip and twirl is?
No.
It's on Fire Island. Don't go there.
I've never been to Fire Island.
Don't go there. It's canceled. We might go this year. We'll let you know.
What's the warning though?
We're unsure. We're like on the fence about Fire Island. Well, we went to like Thai tea and we like didn't like. I think Thai tea is really stressful. Have you been to Thai tea?
The "we" in the sentence is doing a lot of work.
I found Thai tea to be the most stressful experience of my life thus far.
I thought it was pretty stressful too. Because I had not been in like a big like gay male centered party before like that. I don't think to my
party.
I mean outdoor hang, yeah, party. It was like an outdoor like DJ set at $3
and
bill.
Ty did amazing.
It was just
I love Ty.
No, it was
it's not his fault.
The vibe was fun. It was just like I had never been in a room where there was so many like shirtless gay dudes who were just like clocking each other the whole time, and then you feel I personally felt very self-conscious about like the whole thing.
You know what made it worse, that this was 2 years ago, that we were had flyers for our show.
Oh yeah, we were trying. Well, we were like, let's go
don't do that
and we'll hand out flyers. No, we were desperate. Don't hand out
flyers. Handing out flyers for what?
For a show we were doing.
Oh,
they're like, these are gay people, maybe they'll come. And they were
walking around with Littlefield with a QR code. We gave it to one group of girls, and
we did not successfully get any game. You, me, two lesbians walking around with our flyers. I was like, Jesus Christ, we gotta
just
get
a QR code on your phone for your page on your Instagram and make them tap on it and you're done.
What's so weird about that experience?
But they gonna tuck the flyer into their jockstrap.
Literally, like best case scenario.
That's so funny. Y'all did guerrilla marketing for another venue. Right?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
I ain't even having a fucking
well across town
show in Alabama. Yeah.
What's weird about that is that I feel like in high school, I went to an all boys Catholic high school, and my capital in that space was like, yeah, I'm friends with the girls who dance at the all girls school up the road, like, because I'm in the play. And that, and I think people were like, okay, like, whatever. And then at this, it was kind of like, yeah, I'm here with the lesbians. So, like, he's like, it's still any group of all men is like simply not a friend of mine. So, like, that's sad.
No, it's stressful. That's stressful. Trauma. But yeah, I wonder what the thing is for like, cis dudes who don't want to sit, because like it does just seem like it would be way easier, especially if you're at your home. Like, who cares?
Especially like you're getting old. Like, my dad's old. I feel like he should just let himself sit down, take a seat.
Tell him.
Well, the older you get, the harder it is to come up.
So. That's probably
that's
true.
A good point. That is a good point. So he can sit, but then you need a handle to like help him get back up. Yeah.
They just redid their bathroom, and now the toilet's in its own little room. Like, it just has its own room.
A little throne.
Yeah, they made it.
My parents are redoing their house too, and the bathroom that I usually use is different now. And when I came home for the holiday, my mom walked past and was like, oh, by the way, the floors are heated now. I'm like, what?
Wow.
Oh. I'm like, what?
That's beautiful.
Isn't that one of those funny things about, I don't know how y'all relate to this, but like, I feel like this is not going to be the trajectory for our generation, it seems, but at least for older generations, they get richer as they go. And I think also not having as many dependents now, my parents have more like income to spend and stuff. And so like, yeah, they'll be like, oh, the floors are heated. And I'm like, where the fuck was this our whole lives? Now it's heated.
It wasn't for you.
Yeah.
It was for us.
Yeah.
I know.
But the dogs get to enjoy it. That's great.
Just in the way. Of yeah. My heated
yes. When I moved out, they redid my room, and now it looks like a hospice. To be honest, like it's just like a kind of sad in there. It's like this is where someone. And honestly, that might be where someone does go to die.
At some point, you have to accept the fact that your childhood room is the Peloton room.
That's the basement.
It's where all the shit goes that yeah. they don't want to be bothered with. So every time I walk into my, I'm just like, oh, okay, this has become less and less my room.
Yeah. I lost my room right away because I have three younger siblings, and so my brother took my room immediately. And so as soon as I left for college, my room was gone.
I always had the worst room. Isn't that interesting?
Middle child.
Yeah, I always had the worst room. But it's a dark room. I just remember being 17 and smoking a cigarette out the window because I was when I was drunk. And then my mom, because like when you smoke a cigarette, like
they're gonna smell that.
Yeah, they went ahead and did. And then my mom came in and was like, "What the fuck?" And I was like, "What?" I'm just like smoking a cigarette. I was an alcoholic.
That is so funny. You thought you could get away with that.
Yeah. And then that was the same day I burned myself, and now I still have it
with the cigarette.
Man, well, you got plenty of battle scars.
Yes, and I still have that. You can see it.
You're like one of those girls who wakes up with bruises and is like, I don't know where they came from.
A yellow American spirit.
Yeah. Alex, thank you so much for doing the pod and giving us so much of your time, dude. Before we go, do you want to let us people know where you're at on socials or what you got coming up?
Alex English on Instagram.
Hell yeah.
If you type those two words in, I should be the first person that comes up. I've worked hard for that. February 17th? No, February 16th. I'm going to be at the Bell House.
Fuck yeah.
Alex cool. and the homies. 17th. Thank
you, Jackson.
February 17th. February 17th. President's Day. It's a Monday.
Hell yeah.
So I know y'all can make it to the Bell House to come see me. I'm working on a new idea for a potential late night talk show of sorts.
Hell yeah.
Cool.
And this is me making that attempt. So I'm going to have some fun friends, fun musical guests, and a little surprise if it happens, you know, prayers up. But I need people there. So yeah, come to that. And if you can't make it to that, there's another show I have coming up at Second City, New York on February 3rd, and that is Alex English's Night of 1,000 Negroes. So I'm celebrating Black History Month, and I'm doing a marathon of Black comedians at the Second City in Williamsburg. It's going to be 90 minutes of just every Black comic I can just up there doing 2-minute, 3-minute, whatever, at maximum 2 to 3 minutes, because I got to get everybody on there. But
hell yeah.
So that's going to be a fun, fun time. So yeah, February 3rd, Second City, Night of 1,000 Black People. And then February 17th, come to Alex. And then come to both.
Yeah.
And we'll link to both of those in the show notes, which I just figured out how to do.
Yeah,
we'll link those in the show notes.
Help a Black man out on Black History
Month. Yeah, do your part. And Alex is so goddamn funny, so do not miss his stuff.
Thanks,
and find him on Instagram. And awesome, we'll be back next week. Thanks, boys.
Oh, mwah.